This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, it's Derby Preview Day, everybody, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 19th, episode 2165, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products.
And coming up on today's Kentucky Derby Preview Day, Scott Jagow from the Pollock Report is going to start us off with an overview of the contenders, and then Dean Rees is on his second Derby adventure, this first being with the amazing Mucho Macho Man back in 2011. And this time he's going to share the story of a horse named Tax. And then after a short break, Bad Ads comes down the stretch for the win.
We're ready for the start.
Oh, good morning, horse girls.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And Justify had a good beginning. The expected pace setter Promises Fulfilled will go out to lead them. Justify is right after him, and Volk Toro is close and just to the outside of them. Then Good Magic, Noble Indy on the outside. Flameaway is down toward the rail. They're followed by Firenze Fire, who's about 5 lengths from the front. Bravazo is next. Mendelssohn is 6 lengths off the lead, splitting horses as they move into that turn. Then Free Drop Billy down on the inside. Audible is alongside of him, and Christ is next. And then comes Magnum Moon, who's undefeated and back near the back of the pack early on. Lone Sailor's down toward the inside. Then Combatant Hofberg, Instilled Regard, Vino Rosso, My Boy Jack is second last, and Solomini is the last of 23-year-olds who complete the first half mile in a swift 45.77 seconds. Up the backstretch of the Kentucky Derby, and Justify is just to the outside of Promises Fulfilled. The two of them are matching strides on the lead. Victor Espinoza has Volk Toro on the far outside running in third. Flameaway is fourth and down on the inside. Good Magic fifth between those two. Firenze Fire is down toward the rail. Then Noble Indy. Free Drop Billy. Ryan Moore starting to ask a bit more from Mendelssohn. He has his work cut out for him as they make their way into the far turn. There goes Justify. Justify takes the lead as they round the far turn. He opens up now to a length. Volk Toro comes after him. Good Magic is in the midst of his rally, and it's a 3-wide bid toward Justify as they make their way toward the top of the stretch. Justify and Good Magic start to pull away from the others, and they're into the stretch, and it's Justify and Mike Smith turning for home in front. Good Magic and Jose Ortiz a length behind as they come into the final furlong. Bravazo's down the center of the track, and then Audible on the inside, who's now up in a third. Justify a 2-length lead as they come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then Instilled Regard, they're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Can you not get goosebumps listening to him?
And remember, if you can't picture the scene, it was a sloppy, muddy, awful mess.
Yes.
It was awful.
It was disgusting. But, so, yeah, it's an we are covering this a little bit early because we're going to be at the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event presented by Mars Equestrian next week. So is that next week for real?
Yeah. Next Friday, we'll be coming to you from Kentucky.
Wow, that's cool. I better buy him a plane ticket. so yeah, that's, can you, sitting here listening to that, none of us had any idea how Justify would win the freaking Triple Crown that year. But, you know, that's part of the magic of the horse racing. You just never know what's going to happen. But I've been watching some of the Derby prep races, and I'm getting a little educated. We're going to have Scott from the Pollock Report, Scott Jagow from the Pollock Report, come on to kind of break down the race. You know, he's kind of the guy who does that for a living. So we're going to have him be the smart one. And I hope you guys
well, that won't be hard if we're using us as comparison.
No, we just ask questions.
Yeah, exactly.
You just go. Speaking of really exciting, we're going to have Dean on of Mucho Macho Man fame. So we're going to talk to them again and see what's going on.
How many years ago was that we met Dean Reeves and Patty and we Mucho Macho Man? What year was
Google
that?
Google Mucho Macho Man Kentucky Derby. And
yeah, I have
that's
to look that
year.
Up because I have
2011,
no idea.
Jennifer says.
Wow. That we had just started in 2010. That's how long they've been coming on our shows.
That's how long we've been doing this show. Oh,
and they haven't
God.
Given up on us. And we apparently haven't given up on us either. So there you go.
It's a win-win. Okay. Time right. for Daily Winnies. All
right. Believe it or not, I could not find any auditor birthdays for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. But because I am something. Out next week, here. Happy birthday to all the auditors and anybody in the entire world that is having a birthday in the next 10 days. I am covered. Do not send me hate mail. There.
I think there was one yesterday. You're screwed, dude.
Also, I just had a note from a brand new auditor. Her name is Sally. And I asked her how she heard about the show and what she listens to. And she listens to a bunch of the shows, including this one. So, hi, Sally. And she said, I started at the first show available in all of the categories. I am good friends with John Busco. And he sent me the link to hear his interview. And I got hooked and been listening ever since.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. I message him a lot and he never writes me back. So. Like I comment on stuff and I'm like, oh, he's going to come up. No.
No, you're feeling stalkerish me. Now. You're going to have a restraining order anytime.
Like, it's like three or four times and I'm like,
she said
okay,
he's a super nice
stop.
Guy, but apparently only to Sally because. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's okay.
But she did
okay.
compliment our interview. She said it was a very good interview with him. So thank you, Sally, for that. We really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on Auditor. You're really going to like the Auditor.
I want him to be my friend, Sally. Could you put in a good word for me?
Yeah, try that, Sally. See how it happens. While you're at it, Kaylee Cuoco's on my list. See what you can do there, too. All right, here you go.
Okay, I need you guys to sit down because I'm going to tell you something that's going to change your life and it's going to make you save up money. You might even sell a horse to do this. Okay, that's crazy. Is it your dream, because it is mine, to be in a room full of cuddly baby pandas? It is mine. And I'll tell you that.
Are you going to China?
It is now possible. You have to go to the Chengdu Research Base of Giant Panda Breeding. It's a facility that was created to give giant pandas the opportunity to flourish. If you've ever seen those videos of that, the little Asian guys are grabbing all the pandas and putting them on a table. The pandas roll off. They pick them back up and put them on the table. And then eventually they play with them as they get older and they hold them and love them and put them out. You can go there. Apparently they allow visitors. It's a nursery. It's a daycare. And you can go. Oh my God. I want. I'm saving up. I'm going.
And this is in some middle part of China someplace?
You know what? It doesn't matter. I will go and we will go to the Chengdu Panda Research Place now. So I need to figure out.
Does American fly there? Can you get free tickets?
American. That's a good thing about Chad working for American is they go everywhere.
Can you even do international flights?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, remember, I went to Ireland.
Oh, that's true. You did that on standby, didn't you? Now, you might stand by for about 4 weeks to get on a flight to China, but, you know.
It's true. But we also stood by to go to England and never got there, so.
That is the risk, isn't it?
Yeah. We were, like, going to England, and we're like, can't really get home. We could get to England. We just couldn't get home. We're like, guess we'll go to Hawaii. Oh, well. Yeah. Hey, so it's called the Chengdu, Chengdu Research Base. And so you can go Google it, but apparently they allow visitors. So I'm on my way. I'm coming, baby pandas.
All right. Well, somebody else is here waiting for us to get started with our Derby coverage.
Oh my gosh. Thank goodness we've got a big brain coming on to talk about everything. Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. Jamie, Glenn, how are you doing?
Good. Good
Great.
To talk to you again.
Thank you so much for joining us and bringing a little bit of... it was this time last year that we talked last. We've really missed you. I have. And we were just kind of going over all the horses with no idea that we would have a triple crown winner at the end of June. I mean, how amazing was that to kind of think that? Does that change the way you kind of look at things or not?
Not really. And we've had two since 2015. Before that, we didn't have one for 37 years. So it's kind of hard. There's not really a pattern to look at. We could have a long spell again without one. We've had six favorites win the Derby in a row, which has never happened.
Really?
And again, before, yeah, and before that, there was a long streak in the 80s and 90s where not one favorite won. So again, it comes in cycles, and one of the reasons that we've had favorites winning, I believe, in the last 6 years is because of the point system. You know, it used to be based on graded stakes earnings. So you would get horses in the field that won a race with a big purse that didn't really fit the distance of the Derby. So, you know, they might be a miler instead of going a mile and a quarter. And that kind of created some chaos in the field. Now you have to earn your way in with the points. So you get horses who actually fit the profile of a Derby horse.
So I believe Omaha Beach is that who the current favorite is?
Yes, he is probably going to be the favorite on Derby Day. Although, of course, you know, Bob Baffert winning the last two Triple Crowns with Justify and then American Pharoah before that. And he's won the Derby five times. He has three horses in this field that are serious contenders. So you know how that goes. I mean, everybody's going to look at Bob Baffert's horses. So I believe maybe by the time the betting goes off on the first Saturday in May, one of his horses, probably Roadster, could actually end up being the favorite.
I have a question about that. So we have the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event. I'm an eventer. And this event, the riders can only have a certain number of horses. I think it's two that they compete on. Is there a limit for trainers? Could there be 20 starters of Bob Baffert?
Well, there could be the way things are going. I mean, that's unlikely. But we had a field a couple of years ago with Todd Fletcher had five out of the 20 starters.
Oh, wow.
So it's not. And these days, you know, the trend is you have these bigger name trainers that have these huge stables. So, yeah, they end up with multiple horses and you know, the little guy kind of gets shut out. But you know, this year we have a mixture of horses from larger stables and smaller ones, and it's pretty wide open compared to previous years. So it's going to be a fun race to watch and to bet on.
Before you get into that, I wanted to follow up on that. So a guy like Bob Baffert, does he actually see and is involved actively in the training of every one of those horses in the stable?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
I mean, he has assistants. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, he has the last word on everything. And that's the way it goes for most of these trainers. Now, I mean, some of them have like Todd Fletcher has a couple hundred horses.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And I've seen him in action. I've seen him in action. Yes, he has assistants. He gets his hands on every single one of his 200 horses. So, yes, they do. It's, you know, they have to delegate. But when it comes down to it, it's their horse or, you know, they're for the owner. And no, they're very hands-on, most of them.
We talked to an assistant trainer of him, of Todd Fletcher, and he said that it's like he's a savant. He knows every horse, every bloodline, every race they've run, what they are time coming in as being clocked, and he knows every little detail about them.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just, that's a good way to describe Todd. He's a horseman through and through, and you know, he's had some tough luck when it comes to the Derby, although he did win a couple years ago with Always Dreaming. And he's kind of gotten some criticism because he has so many horses that get in. But then again, you have to realize that it's up to the owners to decide whether they run or not. I mean, the owners are paying the trainer. So sometimes, you know, he would probably rather not run a particular horse in the Derby because he doesn't think the horse fits. But the owner's like, well, it's the Derby. I want to go to the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have that kind of scenario happening each year.
Well, I feel like this group of horses for this year is there's not one crazy super standout, but there's a lot of really, really good horses. They've all accomplished at least one thing to put them here in the race. Is my assessment correct or do you see one that's a huge standout?
No, I do not. Like Justify was pretty much a standout last year. American Pharoah, when he won the Triple Crown before the Derby, he was a standout. Everybody was only talking about him and no one else. This year, it's not like that at all. Omaha Beach winning the Arkansas Derby kind of put him as you mentioned earlier, up top. And then Mike Smith, Big Money Mike, they call him, you know, who's won so many big races. He chose Omaha Beach over the horse that won the Santa Anita Derby, the Bob Baffert horse, Roadster, the one I mentioned, you know, who could end up being the favorite. But Mike Smith choosing Omaha Beach certainly, you know, stamped him as the horse to beat. Roadster, again, looks very good and won the Santa Anita Derby impressively. And then you have a horse like Tacitus, who won the Wood Memorial, although the New York races have not been very relevant to the Derby in recent years. And then another one that you can't forget is Code of Honor, who finished third in the Florida Derby, so it didn't look that great. But he ran a pretty good race, and he's trained by Shug McGahee. He's going to be ridden by John Velasquez. Those guys know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So Code of Honor, and he comes from behind. So watch out for him if there's a fast pace in the Derby. He might be the one I actually land on. And then there's another horse, Maximum Security, who came out of nowhere. He was running in a small-time claiming race, and he ends up winning the Florida Derby. So you have a horse like that in there. Game Winner is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile champ for Bob Baffert. Who else? He's got another one named Improbable, who has finished second in his two races this year. So, yeah, I could keep going. It's a long list of potential contenders this year.
So, you know, I do think that I really like Maximum Security. Game Winner, it just seems like he knows how to win. But how does Mike Smith pick Omaha Beach when Bob Baffert and Justify won the Santa Anita Derby last year, which is the same combination for Roadster, and he decides not to ride him? So that definitely, I guess, would have to tell you something, or he's just crazy. He doesn't want to win again.
No, that's him. Yeah, I think, I mean, Mike knows what he's doing, of course, in choosing a horse. But it's not just, he has to look out for jockeys have to look out for their relationships with certain trainers. Because, throughout the year, that's their bread and butter, their go-to rider or whatever. But Mike Smith has earned the right to choose whatever horse he wants at this stage of his career. And, the other storyline here that's really intriguing is Bob Baffert has won the Derby 5 times. There are 2 other trainers that are highly respected, Richard Mandela and Bill Mott, who both have very serious contenders in this race, who often don't have horses in the Derby. They have never won the Kentucky Derby. So it's an interesting, we'll see whether the seasoned winner, Bob Baffert, gets it done, or one of these two guys maybe gets their first Derby, or somebody we're not even talking about right now upsets the Derby.
It is amazing how often you see the same bloodlines in these races, the war fronts. We got a couple war front babies in here. We've got a Tappet, all of the standard like Kentucky names that you hear with Take Charge Indy and Scat Daddy and Noble Michelle, Quality Road, all of these. How much does bloodlines play into your picking?
It definitely is a factor because of the distance. These days, I really believe it's actually less of a factor because most horses are not bred to go a mile and a quarter. The industry has focused in recent years on more winning those mile races. So you have a lot of horses that really are pushing it to get a mile and a quarter. So you actually end up looking at a horse like Justify or American Pharoah and seeing, they had really good, what we call tactical speed, where they could relax and control themselves early on in a race and finish well. But I wouldn't say that either of them was blatantly bred to go 10 furlongs. So pedigree is a little bit less important to me these days because of what I just said.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So with all of these horses, we've got the couple standouts, which are the ones that everybody's talking about, the Omaha Beaches, Tacitus. I really, really like that horse. But we've got high cow. I'm assuming that's plural for haiku. Is that that's got to be plural for haiku?
I didn't look that one up.
Okay, I was going to say it's a Kira McLaughlin horse, and he kind of seemed a little interesting. But there's a lot of smaller. That horse is only raced at Aqueduct. How much does the trip to Louisville make a difference for a horse like Haikal, who's only raced in one particular place? Is it a big overwhelming thing, or is it just another track?
It can be a problem. It can be an issue, I should say, because the Churchill Downs dirt surface is very specific and can be finicky. It can get a little cuppy, and certain horses really like it and some don't. And the ones that tend to like it, just this is just based on observation, often they have a little bit of turf in their pedigree. So I actually, when you talk, go back to your question about pedigree, I look for horses that have a little bit of turf in their pedigree because they do tend to like that Churchill Downs dirt surface. It's a crapshoot. Otherwise, I have no idea whether Haikal will like it or not. You get a decent idea watching them go over the surface in the mornings for the, you know, 10 days leading up to the Derby, watch the breezes and then watch them go over the surface. And you can tell, or at least more trained observers can tell, whether or not they like it, whether they're floating over it or whether they look uncomfortable.
Gotcha. Okay. So Glenn has to talk to you real quick, but I want to know, like, okay, who is your guy and who, like, who's the guy you think is going to get it and who's a potential long shot we need to be looking at?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think Code of Honor is a horse that I may end up landing on. Usually I kind of, at this point, already have my Derby horse. This year's been a little bit different. It's been a little slower to land on someone. I think right now I'm looking at Code of Honor. Again, I like the fact that he comes from behind, even though in recent years, a lot of the winners have been, you know, close to the pace. I have a feeling this year, maybe we're going to get a faster pace. So Code of Honor with John Velasquez, and he right now, you know, on the morning line, he's going to be probably 15-1. So he could be a nice long shot possibility. You know, an interesting story. And another come from behind horse is Long Range Toddy, which is a terrible name for a Derby horse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
A Code of Honor is actually a cool name. That Code of Honor sounds like a Derby winner. Yeah. Long
Dame
Range
winner.
Toddy,
you know, we got some not. Really, really great yeah. names. You know, War of Will.
Yeah, I always pick by names. Yeah. This year's going to be tough. There's some good ones this year.
But
yeah.
then there's Long Range Toddy.
Range Toddy. Okay, so Yeah, I mean, it has something to do with a mixed drink that's thrown a long distance or something. I have no idea. I know what a toddy is. anyway, he's a very seasoned horse. And speaking of seasoning, his jockey is John Court, who is 58 years old and will be the oldest jockey to ever ride in the 145-year history of the Kentucky Derby, which is astonishing. So I think he's one. It could be kind of a fan favorite, and I would not, you know, I'm not throwing him out. Absolutely. He's got an outside chance, especially if the pace is fast.
Let's face it, though. If Larry Colmus is calling this down the stretch and we're coming to the finish, don't you want to hear him call out, win, win, win for the win? Don't you want to hear yeah. that? That'd be perfect.
That's a good one. And like you said, there's several in here. You know, sometimes we get a year where we've got all these weird kooky names, but this year,
we have a lot of war related names this year. We got Omaha Beach. We've got Maximum Security, War of Will, yeah. Code of Honor. I mean, we got a lot
That's
of war.
Because Warfront yeah. is such a hot sire right yeah, now. I mean, yeah. he's killing it.
We got a lot of, and then I looked up, is it Tacitus or
Tacitus?
Tacitus, who apparently was yeah. a Roman Empire historian. How the hell did they find yeah. that to name him Tacitus? I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. These guys all have their various interests, and they like to play on the names of the dam and the sire. I mean, there's one owner who's pretty prominent in the thoroughbred industry who only names his horses after financial instruments. Like he you know, strategic something, or it's always something to
Bitcoin.
Do with Wall Street.
So,
exactly. Yeah, I can't, of course, right now I can't think of the names of his horses, probably because they're so forgettable. I mean, the names are they're financial.
Yeah, you know, a horse named Actuary, not real exciting there.
We're going to talk to Dean Reeves here in a minute, and his horse's name is Tax. That's awesome.
He's not the owner I was talking about, but yes, he does have a horse in your name.
Now, that name would have been better if it was tax write-off, which I'm sure has happened. It was already taken. Well, tell us where, you guys are doing a lot of coverage at Pollock Report, so tell everybody how they can go find the coverage over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so, you know, our website URL is pollickreport.com, which is PAULICK report.com. And, you know, you can sign up for our newsletter, which is free. It goes out in the email once a day if you want to keep up with the top stories. Or just visit the website, and, you know, we have various sections. So we have a specific section that covers the Triple Crown. It's right near the top of the homepage. So you can get all the latest Triple Crown stories. But then, of course, throughout the year, we cover the business, the people, the breeding, the horse players. And we also have a section called Horse Care, which has been very popular, where it's all about equine welfare and tips on how to care for your horse. And again, we have a staff working on that section, and it's been really popular.
Oh, my gosh. How am I not? I'm signing up right now. I've got to ask you a question. Because we had, you mentioned Code of Honor, and that is Shug McGahee. We had his son come on to our new show, which is called Retired Racehorse Radio, just to kind of talk about the sales, and we're educating people that own off the track thoroughbreds of kind of what their horse has been. And I've been getting so many questions, Scott, about what race means what, the classics and the claiming and the allowances. I hope, would you come on and kind of give us a super beginner lesson on like betting and what races mean and what they are, and come on that show. I'm putting you on the spot right now. I know, but I've had so many people, and I'm just listening to you. I'm like, he's the perfect guy.
Yeah, sure. Anytime. I'm happy to discuss those things. I love talking about it and sharing what knowledge I have with people. And it's great because we have kind of a crossover here. We're talking horse racing, but again, as I said about the horse care section, that's an example of how, you know, we're into other areas of the horse, not just the racing end of it.
I love it. Well, that's why we have you guys on, because we respect you and we love you guys. And thank you so much for coming on. We will be looking at your picks, and we'll be making ours at the end of next week or the week after, I guess, too, because we got a couple weeks before the Derby to get really prepared. If anything changes, you have to let us know first.
Yeah. Give me a call, you know, right around Derby week. We usually do one of these, you know, a couple of days before the race, because, you know, a lot changes between now and the race. So, yeah, happy to do it.
We'll definitely
do
that.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Scott. And I did want to mention that Around the Track is a show Scott did for a while, and those are still available on the Horse Radio Network app. And we get thousands of downloads still to those episodes. So if you want to go back and listen to the fascinating show that he did, it's called Around the Track, and it's still on the website and also on all your podcast player apps. Thanks, Scott.
Great. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Take care. Bye.
That show was so good. He would have one guest. And like,
there's 23 episodes of that. And if you're a new listener and you're interested in racing at all, look for Around the Track. It was NPR good. It was really good.
It was really good.
All right. So let's take a listen to our good friends at Kentucky Performance Products. We'll be seeing Karen next week. And then we're coming back to talk more racing with one of our old friends that we found out came on first in 2011.
Each week, you carefully plan out your horse's training schedule. You work with your trainer to fine-tune his flat work. You school through grids to perfect his jump and set up multiple courses to educate your eye. You enjoy long hacks to keep his mind fresh and body strong. Show day arrives. You take a deep breath as you enter the ring
We've got this, you whisper so only he can hear you. You move as one, sailing over each element in perfect harmony. The feeling you get when it all clicks. It's why we do what we do. This feeling is brought to you by Joint Armor. Joint Armor's complete formula provides your horse with the nutrients necessary to support healthy joints throughout his lifetime. Joint Armor maintains fluid motion and flexibility in hardworking joints. It supports normal cartilage development and reduces joint deterioration. Joint Armor provides high levels of both glucosamine and chondroitin, plus 100 milligrams of hyaluronic acid. Best of all, Joint Armor is affordable. One small jar lasts up to 75 days. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products.
And of course, you can find Kentucky Performance Products on Facebook as well. Just search for that. And Karen, we're looking forward to seeing you next week in your hometown of Lexington, Kentucky. Before we get to Dean, I just wanted to mention that the line of storms that has come across the country, you had them, I guess, earlier in the week, and now they're really ravaging the South, and your old home state of Atlanta is getting clobbered. But that's about to hit us. It actually is at the coast right now, and we're about 40 minutes from the coast. So if we go off the air, it's because the storms have hit and we've lost power like we always do. So I just wanted to warn everybody of that, including Dean, who's waiting on here. So it looks like we're going to be safe and we might make it, but there is a chance. All right, we're ready.
All right, well, we'll say good morning. Morning, Dean.
Dean, are you there?
Yep, I'm all right. I'm back.
Yep, I'm here.
He was out getting coffee. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We started doing the math, and you came on, obviously, when Mucho Macho Man was on this exact same road that Tax is currently on, and it was in 2011. So for some reason, you keep coming back, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, isn't that great? We've been chatting now for 8 years.
That's amazing.
That's crazy when you think about it. Most podcasts don't last near 8 years, let alone, you know.
Well, what's even
that's a credit to you two, you know, and it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but what a credit to your show that 8 years later, we're still talking Kentucky Derby.
And you know what? Well, it's still the most popular horse podcast in the world. We're happy to say that, too. We're proud of that. So,
well, here's what's really amazing is that Dean has been involved in horse racing for 8 years and still hasn't given up on it. He's still going.
Yeah, it still has some money left, apparently. So,
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've got a lot of partners. Thank goodness.
Now, when we were in the same spot, you had bought Mucho Macho Man, and he was your only horse at the time, and you were on this road to the Kentucky Derby. Tell it, just for those who are new and didn't listen 8 years ago, give a little bit of insight on kind of how you got involved in this, because I believe it was drinking on a vacation, if I recall.
Well, let's just say it was on a vacation. but we were in the Turks and Caicos Islands, and my wife Patty met a lady actually in the gym working out. They chatted a bit and we ran into them that night. And the next day we kind of hooked up and gave them a tour of the island. And I found out that it was Bob and Esther Addis, and they'd been in horse racing for many, many years. And he suggested we go in partners and buy a horse. And that's what we did. The next time I met him was in Kentucky at the sale, and we bought a horse named Fearless, and that got it all started.
Amazing. Now, with that, and you got it all started 8 years ago, how many horses do you have now?
I'm not sure if I can really say. Patty's listening.
But we have
about 20 horses that are in training.
Oh my
and
gosh.
We have some yearlings and weanlings because we've been breeding to Mucho Macho Man. So that, adds a few younger horses to the payroll.
Well, it's only natural that you should have some babies of him. And probably that means you have to have some brood mares and 20 horses in training. You're an empire now, Dean. You have an empire.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm... it's now that's not a lot in comparison to some of the folks I've got. They've got, you know, 50 to 100 horses, but we're just continuing to try to improve the horses that we do have and you know, where they're racing and so forth. And it's a constant, it's something you got to do every day. You're looking for the good horses and taking a look at future down the road. You want to look at yearlings and weanlings. And so it's a constant effort to try to find the good ones.
It's okay, Patty. He'll stop at 50. We promise. It's okay.
That's a lie. Don't listen, Patty. So tell us a little bit about your new horse being bred at Claiborne Farms. I mean, what an impressive place to be born. Tell us about Tax.
You know, he's such an interesting story, and I give a lot of credit to Danny Gargan. I mean, the guy really works hard. He watches a lot of races and keeps notes on horses and so forth. And Danny was alert, along with some other people, and was fortunate that he got the shake when he had watched this horse race as a $30,000 claimer, and, you know, made a little note to stay in touch on the horse. And when he came back to run again in a 50,000 claiming race, Danny pulled the trigger and claimed the horse. So Danny then brought it to, there's four of us that have had some horses with Danny. Randy Hill and I have had a lot of horses together. And I actually talked to Danny about Tax after he claimed the horse and told him what a good claim it looked to be. And then we sort of started talking about buying in the horse. And then so that's what we did, Randy and I. At the time, Corms Racing is who Danny works with a lot, and they put the claim in that name. And then shortly thereafter, Randy and I were able to come in and buy, you know, part of the horse.
Well, you have the Midas touch, because since he's been claimed, he's just gotten better and better.
He really has improved. And, you know, when you look at his numbers, they've gotten better each time. He's become consistent in his races. And Danny's just done a great job of preparing the horse and kind of bringing him along. And I, as Danny says, I don't think he's really had him wound up ready to go. And you know, we took a chance skipping, you know, waiting 4 months and skipping a race in between the Withers and the Wood. But it turned out we accomplished our goal and got it done to get into the Derby. And I think he'll run well.
Well, speaking of the Withers, I did watch that prep race, and you've got something going for you, because Tax sure does not mind being on the rail or squeezing through horses to make it happen. Oh my gosh. He fought his way through in that race like crazy.
Yeah, and that's something it's hard to teach. You know, they either have the mental capacity to go into a hole like that or stay tight quarters into a rail and not be bothered by it. But this guy's, you know, he's got a good mind. He's a good size, strong colt, and it looks like he'll run in any spot.
It sure seems like it. Now, a question here. So many horse trainers or owners refuse to bet on their horses because they think it could, you know, it's bad luck. But some horse trainers and owners think it's great luck to bet on their horses. Which camp are you in? Do you bet on them? I mean, I know Patty's listening, so you can say you just a little.
Well, I'm not a big bettor, but I feel like sometimes I know when the horse is in training well. I feel good about the horse in that particular race. For example, the other day we had Liam Let's Go coming off of about 3 or 4 month layoff, and Kathy Ritbo was training him, and we knew the horse was feeling good. It was bouncing around, you know, in the paddock area, and because it had been a long layoff, he was like 11-1. So, you know, I bet him across the board, and he ended up winning the race. So that's a situation where we just felt good about the horse. It doesn't always work out that way, but to answer your question, yeah, I do bet on my own horses.
Oh, I need that hot tip. I bet him across the board, but probably didn't put as much on it as you. I'm can I get $2? But you know what? It's all about the victory. It's not about the money. Now, the most important question.
Unless you're winning $100,000, then it kind of gets more fun. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But you got to put that. Pay to play.
I think this year's Kentucky Derby's wide open. I think it's going to be a great betting race. I think there's going to be some horses that are going to be in the 20 to 25 to 1 range. And Tax may very well be one of those horses that, is going to be a real good horse to have in either exotic bets or to bet show bets and so forth. Because if you look at his numbers and some other horses' numbers that'll be up there, they are as very, very close to what will be, quote, the favorites. There's not a big gap. And I think this is going to be a very exciting Kentucky Derby.
We just spoke with Scott Jagel from the Pollock Report just a minute ago, and he kind of said the same thing. You know, when we had American Pharoah or we had Justified, that was all anybody was talking about was those particular horses. Right. But this time it's far more open. There's a lot of horses who have very nice accomplishments that are coming into this race.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think I would not be shocked if a 20-to-1 horse doesn't win the Derby, because I looked at all of the PPs and the numbers, the buyer figures, all of the things that we look at, and there's very little separation, and I would say 15 of the 20 horses.
Where are most of your horses that you have in training? Are they kind of scattered across the country with different trainers, or do you have one particular track that you like?
Most of them are down in Florida with Kathy Ritvo. I have a nice filly racing today at Aqueduct with Christophe Clement. Her name is Feel Glorious that we're excited about. And George Weaver has some of the horses, and Danny Garrigan, of course, has some.
Oh, my gosh. Poor Patty. She's just trying to keep up with you with all these horses. Good move to get them all spread out. Do we have any momentum on horse racing in Georgia yet? Come on.
You know, we go down, we have momentum, and we have a lot of people in Georgia that really want to have horse racing, but we've got a few folks at the Golden Dome down there that, just don't want to let us get past first base. So we're not going away, but we'll keep trying it every year.
Those people have to retire and die sometimes. So it'll happen. It's probably
right.
Terrible.
We're going to wait them out.
The most important question, and I don't know if we can speak to her because I don't think you'll do justice, is your wife is heading to the Kentucky Derby. What on earth is she going to wear? This is important.
Oh, listen, that has been the big topic around the house for the last 10 days. And I'm happy to say, thank goodness, that she has purchased that Derby dress. Yesterday, she showed me the Derby hat. So we're closing in on the ensemble, and I'm thrilled that those two items have been taken care of.
How long have you been married?
15 years.
Yeah. So you are you at the point where you just say, yes, dear, that looks wonderful. I don't care what's on her.
No, I'm not that way. If she walks out there and I don't like it, she can tell in about 2 seconds. And, you know, I try to be as diplomatic as possible, but Patty knows me. And when she walks out there, she knows real quick whether or not I like something.
Well, I feel like she is a trendsetter. She started something for the Derby, because as you take your horse to the paddock to get tacked up, it is a very big deal. Everybody walks down the track. You know, all the people walk with their horses and all the people that are associated with those people. It's a big, big, big parade down the racetrack. And I always see these guys that are walking on their suits and they got sensible shoes on. And these poor women are walking around with dang high heels down the middle of a muddy track. And your wife started a fashion. And I've seen it so many times where she plopped on a pair of wellies and walked down that track in her mud boots. And now it's taking off. I feel like I see it every year.
Well, you should see the new ones for this year. They just arrived yesterday. And we are thrilled to have those purchased also. They're of course they match the dress. So the trend continues.
I knew she wouldn't walk down that track in heels. She's too smart for that. Well, as always, it has been a total pleasure having you on. We cannot wait to see Tex run in the Derby and see you guys walking down, and of course see what Patty's wearing and see her in her wellies walking down the track.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for, you know, keeping in touch, and we always enjoy being on the show, and because here's the thing, if we're on the show, that means we're doing something pretty good.
Well, we'll have you back even if you just want to talk. Just let us know. If you're bored one day and want to talk, we'll have you back. All right. No problem.
All right.
Thanks,
all right.
Dean.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, Patty.
It was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
I'm sure he'll stop at 50. Don't you think he'll stop at 50 horses?
I think he has over 50, and she's listening, and he had to just be quiet.
Yeah, you know when they say 20, they mean 40, right? It's always that way.
It's horse girl math right there. Yeah. But what I love is that he's the guy. The guy is like, let's get more horses. I love it.
Yeah. Patty, you call Jamie sometime off air, and she'll tell you all her tricks that she uses with her husband. So, yeah.
And here's the good thing is when your horses quit running, you give me a call, and I'll take them and retrain them for you.
Then they end up in retired racehorse world.
Yeah, we'll take one to oh my gosh, wouldn't that be cool to take one next year to the makeover that belonged to them?
Oh, that would be cool. That would be cool.
That sounds really good.
All right, well, Dean, if you have a flunky, let us know. We'll Jamie will take him over.
No, a good one that retires at the end of this year.
preferably if he's uncontrollable, can't be touched, and hates women. That'd be perfect horse for Jamie. Perfect.
Bring on the challenge.
And a mare, a red mare. Perfect. Perfect. All right. We next week, we'll be bringing you our annual coverage of the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event brought to you by. That was your cue.
No. You just can't get it right. It's the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event. Presented by Mars Equestrian.
And WeatherBeta. So for meetup times and locations, visit horseradionetwork.com/Kentucky. That's the meetup times for all the Horse Radio Network stuff going on. And you'll see all the details there. And for the fifth year in a row, WeatherBeta is our title sponsor. They've been so good to us for Radiothon and this coverage. If you're looking to give your horse the ultimate in fly protection this upcoming season, and I don't know about you, but our flies have started in earnest. Check out WeatherBeta's spring fly sheet range, from soft, durable, and lightweight material to UV block protection. Your horse is not only being protected against pesky predators, but also harmful UV rays and more. Visit WeatherBeta.com to learn more about which fly sheet, and they have a bunch of them, will best suit your needs. And we're looking forward to seeing those fly sheets next week. So also the schedule for next week is a little bit different. There will be no live next week, but we're going to have brand new shows. It'll just be out on your feed. But because Jennifer and I are on a little bit of a vacation before we head over to Kentucky, we can't do the live feed. So there'll be no live feed next week, but there will be new shows put out on your feed. So Monday, it's going to be Jamie and Wendy coming on, and hopefully Leslie, if she hasn't popped yet. Tuesday is going to be brand new horse husbands. And this time, Jamie, we did it a little different. We did a horse dad's round table. So that was fun to do. And then on Wednesday, we have a new show for you. Jamie and Sally are going to be together. Thursday is the Grooming Thursday with professional equine grooms, pro grooms. So Leave is going to be here, and Jennifer. It's a very interesting. I actually edited that last night. And then Friday and Sunday, we'll have shows for you from Land Rover in Kentucky.
When is Retired Racehorse Radio coming out? Isn't it coming out next week too?
It's coming out very shortly, I think. I think it's coming out over the weekend or Monday.
Okay.
So it'll be out very shortly. So yeah, that's coming out as well. Before we get to really bad ads, there's a story I have to do just because I just have to do this because it's the weekend and why not?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
So this is in Granite Bay, California. And, you know, there was a burglar who wasn't very bright. So because the burglar decided to try and rob a house that was owned by a horsewoman and her horsewoman daughter. So this is what happened. A Granite Bay mother and horsewoman returned to her home last week to find it had been ransacked. As she turned the corner and came up the street, she saw that her suitcase was sitting on the corner, filled with all kinds of stuff out on the street. And she also saw her garbage can had her husband's rifles, hunting rifles, were sticking out of it, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. So picture the scene. She turns the corner, comes up to her house, and all this stuff is in her driveway.
They're not only just like taking her stuff. They're using her stuff to move her out.
To move her out, right. But why bring your own containers when you can find them in the house, right?
True.
So as she drove up to her house, the suspected thief, who deputies identified as Richard Hossapple, was coming out of the house. She didn't think twice about chasing him because she's a horsewoman. Her daughter, Maddie, joined the fight as she turned the street and saw the struggle. My daughter jumped out of her truck and we both tackled and rolled him. They beat him up. And you should see his mugshot. He's all beat up. His face is all swelled. But he had managed to escape the women after they beat the crap out of him. And then the cops showed up, and apparently there were all kinds of cops and dogs and everything there. 7 hours into the chase around the neighborhood, Rux's son Jared said he spotted him on the run at 4 a.m. just before he was caught in a neighbor's field. They have no idea why he was still in the same neighborhood 7 hours later. He didn't leave the neighborhood.
He's a moron.
He's a loser. Once in custody, he said he realized when she fought with him, he had her .38 from her bedroom on him. It was found in the field he was caught in. She said it was probably not the smartest thing to do, but as a horse trainer, it wasn't very scary. He was little.
Just hit him with your car. Hit him with your car.
I love this quote. When you take on large animals every day, a little guy is not as large as what you deal with on a daily basis.
Well, she needs to reconsider how she trains horses. Good Lord.
Well, let me tell you, she beat the crap out of this guy. He's all bruised up.
Wow.
Oh, do you know, my loser of the week.
Kickboxing. Now, I
oh, that's
taken,
right. You're like a black belt, right?
I don't do belts and kickboxing. Oh, it's just really, really, really fun. So I go in there and you like just punch and kick crap for an hour. And it is amazing how cathartic and therapeutic it is. There's this like dummy that hangs down and you have to drape your arms over it and you knee it with the left leg, right leg, left leg. And it's like kneeing somebody in the cojones over and over again. And it is so therapeutic. I'm like, this is the best sport ever. It's knee things in the balls. Anyway, anybody wants to give it a try, I highly recommend it.
Just kickboxing.
For more than just exercise, it is just fun to beat the crap out of stuff. Wow. Who knew I needed that? My marriage has improved, honestly. All right,
really bad ads time.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. But tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when our listeners submit ads they've seen on Facebook or on Craigslist or someplace, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. And we have some prizes for this month. Everybody that enters or sends in an ad, whether we read it here on the show or not, is entered into the drawing. And if you read it yourself and send us a sound file, then you get two entries into the drawing. And it's cartoon month here on Horses in the Morning, which some of our listeners would argue is pretty much every month. But we have Thelwell's Pony Panorama. It's a brand new book. It's a classic collection featuring Gymkhana, Thelwell Goes West, and Penelope. And that is a brand new book that has just been put out and has 500 of the best cartoons from Thelwell. well. It's kind of a collection of the past. So it's very good. It's very funny. And we forget how Thelwell had a real handle on the horse world. And then our good friend Jean Abernathy presents Fergus, so A Horse to be Reckoned With. It's her new book, and this is it's a kid's book, but it never ends up with kids. It ends up with adults. Her illustrations are just the best. Fergus is terrific. His eyes are absolutely wonderful. And you're going to get this brand new copy of this book as well. So it's a two-pack. So it is cartoon month here at Horses in the Morning. All right, let's get started. We're going to play some sound, aren't we? So this is Diane that sent this one in.
I have a really bad ad. Now, I am from Canada, but I'm going to try my southern accent because this is in the Augusta, Georgia area. So here it goes. Pony mares, $250. I have three pony mares for sale. All had negative coggins 1 year ago and are due for repeat. These are great prices, so don't bother lowballing. Delivery possible for a fee. 1. Spirit, a dark bay yearling who lives up to her name. She will eat out of your hand and lead, but loves to run. Has not been ridden. Well, I hope not. She's a yearling. 2. Buffy, mother to Spirit. Blue-eyed light bay, about 5-6 years old. Should be bred by an Appaloosa for a summer delivery. Not tested, though. Has been ridden, but not in the past year. $500. How can you not know if your mare is bred? 3. Sold. Misty, 13 to 14-year-old, former brood mare. Ridden by children in the past, but not in the last year. Last 3 pictures, $250. Sold. No, I won't donate, give them away. I do plenty of charity work of my own choosing. No scammers, cash in person transaction only. I know your scams, so don't bother.
You have it.
She's been listening to you do southern accents for way too long.
What I love about that is Diane is awesome. I've met her. She's Canadian, and she is doing a southern accent and still use the word about.
About. And got the, I was listening for the A. I thought there'd be an A in there somewhere. I was so disappointed.
About. You can't turn it. That's great. Please tell me, why are you breeding these horses? Please stop breeding. Stop breeding these horses. Yeah, spay that. Come on.
God. Maybe the new owners will.
Well, we have Frida sent in the next one, and it's called Crappy Appy Needs Home is the title of this. Crappy Appy Needs Home. $800 in East Mesa. Ooh, Frida must live in Arizona because that's Arizona. Appy Mare. Approx 14.28 require confident and experienced rider. Nibbles, appropriately named, is somewhere between 6 and 10. She would be ideal for a smaller, experienced rider, .. I've only had her since June. When I got her, she hadn't been riding in a few years. She can be riding, .. However, .. She is cinchy. She bites. She crow hops and bucks. She's barn sour. She's the alpha in the pen and is food driven.
Yeah, but what's wrong with her?
Well, here's her good point. Her good point, .. She has a comfortable trot.
If you can ever get to that point.
You can't get on her. And if you do, you can't ride her.
You gotta crow hop till she trots. and then after she's done trotting, she bucks.
She is a project horse. She can be fixed, just have a herd of little ones to keep an eye on. And she is, a liability. Price is negotiable.
You notice how these people who can't fix the horse are always confident that somebody can.
It's just not me.
Somebody can.
Times,
they can always be fixed.
How many times has that been in an ad? She's trainable, just not by me.
How are they so confident that horse is trainable? Anyway, Aaron sent this one. This is a first. This is a first in all the years we've been doing this. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know why Aaron sent this in? You're on a bird collection kick right now at the house.
It's true.
Where's Auburn? True. That's not near you, is it? Auburn.
There's an Auburn in Ohio.
There's an Auburn. Isn't there a big college named Auburn?
That's in
Arkansas,
the South, yeah.
Somewhere down there. So anyway, what do we know? So, sorry, we apologize to all the Auburn fans. Aaron sent this one in. I've had this ostrich for about a year now. I'm moving to a new house, and I sadly cannot take my baby with me. Trying to find a good home? Text me with the best offers and for more details, and it's $150 for a sweet young ostrich. You need an ostrich!
I do need an ostrich. Number one, let me start with it. Yes, I do need an ostrich. Number two, why do you have an ostrich? And number three, you mean your new place? You know, when you look for, when you're finding, I've done this a lot, when you're looking for a new place to live and you're like, is it pet friendly? Cool. You can have one dog under 25 pounds. Okay. Do you
have not a 6 foot bird?
is your house ostrich friendly?
I don't know. I've never seen that in the lease.
No. It's because nobody has ostriches as pets. What do you do with an ostrich? Were you planning to,
there
like,
there is a farm
it?
Here that has, what are the other ones? Jennifer would know. What are the other birds they have a thousand of?
Emus.
Literally. Emus. They have emus and they have a couple ostriches. I always thought ostriches also were social and wanted to be out with other ostriches, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Probably. Hey, do you know what the bird called the double waddled cassowary is? Google cassowary right now. C-A-S-S-O-W-A-R-Y.
Any clue how to spell it.
I just spelled it for you. C-A-S-S-O-W-A-R-Y. They're an Australian bird. Okay. I just read this. They had one at the zoo with the World Wildlife Zoo in Arizona. And it was my favorite bird because it literally looks like a dinosaur. Okay. It's cassowary. It is the only bird, and this happened a long time ago, but it is the only bird with a recorded human kill. Okay.
Oh, the bird, Florida guy?
And just last week, the guy had pet cassowaries in his backyard in Florida.
In Gainesville,
and was
right
murdered,
up the street from us.
Was murdered by his double-waddled cassowary. So their middle toe is like a dagger. And they jump up and they stick their toe in you and eviscerate you. And so that's what happened to this
guy. Well, there's a happy
guy.
Thought for Friday.
Anybody want an ostrich for sale? Not anymore, because it might turn into that. I don't know. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And of course, it happened in Florida, right up the street. That double waddle cassowary could have gotten out and come to your house.
Could have.
And killed you.
He didn't have just one. I think he had a number of them.
Yeah. Why are you breeding?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he's helping preserve the breed.
I'm looking at a picture. He has Big Bird's feet. Big Bird was a cassowary.
Yeah. They have huge feet. I mean, huge feet.
A murderous Big Bird.
And of course, it's from Australia, because where all the murderous critters come from.
Exactly. How many Australian things try to kill you? Okay. Anyway, I just thought that was a fun fact. Lorene sent in the next one, and bless her heart, she didn't read it herself, but that's because you need photos. Although I wish I could have her describe it. This is a one-horse trailer for $300.
I love the description.
One-horse trailer. This trailer has been well used, 50-plus years old. Needs new tires. Could be brought back to its glory days with some TLC.
No,
no, it can't. No, it absolutely cannot. And you can't get to it because of all the mud and the lake it's in front of it and behind it and surrounding it. It is a disaster. It is on wood. It is on blocks. It used to be white. It's covered in rust. It is one horse on the back. The whole back is made out of wood. They've got like wood
this
across
wooden door
it.
Ramp thing. I don't know what it is. Oh, the wood across it. So there's a piece of 2x6 that runs across the top, and it's actually screwed into both sides, and that's so the trailer doesn't fall apart, because if they unscrewed it, the whole thing would fall apart.
How are you supposed to load a horse? It's right about where the horse's
ponies,
head would
maybe
be.
Minis. Maybe minis.
You put your double waddle cassowary in there and go right on
ostrich.
Down the road.
There ain't nothing. This ain't going down the road. I'm sorry. No. I don't care what you do to it. All right. Uta sent this one in. Ferocious Attack Kitten. Ferocious Attack Kitten is available for adoption to any home willing to accept him.
Isn't any kitten a ferocious attack kitten?
Yes. This destructive kitty has been trained as a proud warrior and will fiercely defend your house, even against you. Well trained since 10 weeks of age to attack anything in his presence, he will protect your family from evil things, including the following: insects, other trained attack kittens, toilet paper, anything under a blanket, paper bags, Chuck Norris, and toes. This attack cat has trained himself to seek out his food anywhere you hide it and rip the bag open to feed himself. Great for those who travel extensively. Also trained to drink water out of toilet bowls and dishwater from items in the sink. Knows how to open cupboard doors from the outside, not the inside. Neutered, trust me, you won't want him to procreate. Understands and responds to a variety of vulgar and profane verbal commands. Again, like any cat.
Like any cat.
Has a soft, furry belly, like a teddy bear. However, he will bite your face off if you try and touch it. Willing to accept, it sounds like the Beast. Willing to accept trades, potential adopters must have experience with trained attack kittens. Please be prepared to show scars. For the love of God, someone please take this thing out of my house.
Oh my God. That's any kitten. I used to have an orange kitten and I would go to sleep and I would wake up in the middle of the night because it had pounced on my face with its claws out. What world is that okay?
We never let the Beast, our cat we had for years. We talked about the Beast a lot in the show in the early days. We never let him in our bedroom. You would have been bloody by morning.
Yet I go to your house to try out for a job. You've hired me. I go to your house to meet you, and the Beast slept on my pillow, which, of course, I'm allergic to cats.
You didn't shut the door.
It didn't matter. I opened the door, closed or not. He was just there. God, that was a terrible
That cat must have been trip. Like this one. It really must have been.
He got the name the Beast for a reason. I'm actually getting stuffy thinking about it. My throat's closing up.
All right, go to Lindsay. We'll just move on.
Lindsay, horse and hound tacked for sale in Indiana on their Facebook page. Oh, God. Why? Okay, here. Around 12-year-old quarter stallion, not papered, around 15 hands, started on saddle. Not very motivated to sell, just want to see what I would get off of him. He's been sat on, not ridden, though. Needs someone who is very firm with him.
Well, you can't buy him.
Because it's an unstarted 12-year-old quarter horse stallion.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting very far.
Nobody's going to buy that, and you need to geld it. Lindsay just sent this in to piss me off is what happens.
Yes, she did. You know she did.
Geld that.
You know she did. All right. Casey sent the following one in. 13 $800. 13 years old, broke, can walk. Oh, there's no punctuation.
Not a bit.
Damn it.
You take a
deep
breath. I
didn't notice that. 13 years old, broke, can walk. Under her, no kick, no bite, no buck, no spook. She is trail horse safe, sound car safe with kids in pasture with goats, can ride bareback if wanting. Ask $800. Please call or text with questions. I did it.
That's a terrible Yay. Ad.
I have no idea. It's sort of a whitish, Palomino-ish. These pictures have the tint like they were taken on a 1950s camera.
Do you notice it's on a filter, too? So that's a filtered, beautiful lady that is sitting on a pony with a halter.
If you're
yanking
filtering
on it.
Your pictures, there's something going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't filter your sale pictures.
Chelsea sent the following one in. Let's let her read
good.
It. And you don't have to read the ad under it. It is the ad. She sent us the ad, too, so you can see the pictures.
Good morning, HRN. Here's a really bad horse ad morning, I found Chelsea. On Facebook. It reads, in on consignment to your old filly by Rooster Hot Rod and by an own daughter of $1 million producing sire Playboy's a Little Smart. Should make to be around 14.2 hands when finished growing. These horses out of this stallion are outstanding speed and rope horses. She has dazzle and a great-minded filly, but comes with plenty of spunk. Has the groundwork done. Been saddled up and has been sat on a few times. Ready for someone to start putting rides on her. She will make one exceptional horse for any event, especially cow work. Has great bone and conformation, no space. She was the prettiest baby in the pasture when born. Priced at $3,800, no trades, located in Missouri. I'm a little confused at the beginning of the ad because it gives me a buy Rooster Hot Rod and buy another sire. I'm not sure if this is a grandfather or if she just has no mother whatsoever.
two boys. You know, that in today's society, Chelsea, I feel like you should be supportive of that.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, which is a definite possibility, actually.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm not going to judge. Two dads
Chelsea
is totally fine.
Like that. How dare you, Chelsea?
I mean, who doesn't want a rooster, hot rod, Playboy's a little smart filly? Come on. God, quarter horse names are I don't want to say the worst, but they're not the best.
Does everyone start with Playboy? I mean, half the quarter horses in the world start with Playboy something.
So remember, Monty Roberts is a Western
rider.
Oh, that's
right. He started out Western. Well, Pat still rides Western.
Yeah, they're very Western. You know, he's like been a multi-world champion, and I let him name two of my horses. I let it. He named Zeus, and he also named Zara. Now, do you think that there was some trepidation on my part? When, by the way,
it could have been Playboy Zeus's name, Penny Maker.
Yeah, I was. I had not heard Zara's barn name, and I was like, oh my God, please don't be Doc's little Playboy Lena Buckskin Rodeo. You know. Like, please.
I think Debbie probably had warned him, look, you can't do that to her. She'll just.
Oh, God, that was great. Andrea sent in the next one. There's a lot of all caps, but my throat hurts. I don't want to yell anymore. So all caps, don't miss out on her. 7-year-old paint mare. And this is an $800 7-year-old paint mare in Oakman. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oakman, Alabama.
Alabama.
So this is Alabama. This is some country talk right here. Y'all, don't miss out on her. She's a 7-year-old paint mare. Don't lose your chance to get her. 7-year-old paint mare. You got to get her. 7-year-old paint mare quarter horse. Would be okay for a beginner, but her only flaw is she don't like to stand still when you get on. Besides that, she is amazing. She will back up however far you want. She don't like to run. She just loves to walk slow, nice, slow and easy. Once you get on her, she will do whatever you ask of her. She was put up in the pasture for in the pasture. Paster. P-A-S-T-E-R. Is that paster or pasture? I don't know. What the hell? A little over 2 years. So if you only have time to ride every now and then, and you let a horse sit up for a whole while, she is the horse for you. Don't miss out. You must come pick up, or my cousin will deliver.
Can you picture the cousin?
Can I call your cousin, see how this mare loaded up coming up into your house? Okay.
I can just picture the cousin. And he's driving the trailer we saw earlier.
Hey, Bubba, go put that horse in the trailer. I need you to take it on down to Lindsay Street, okay? Thank you.
Go call Cooter.
Come on, Cooter. Come on, Cletus. Get her in the trailer. For all of our listeners in Alabama, I would apologize, but you know this is the truth, okay? There's no way around it.
Whew. All right, so last one. I need you. We only see half the head of this horse that's for sale, but can you describe this horse? Oh, my God.
This is a horse. The photo is of a red, fiery, I don't know if it's a colt, ungelded colt. And he has his ears back and he is trying to murder
kill you.
Something. We can't see the bottom, like what his mouth is actually grabbing, but the whole picture is like a long photo, and it is a horse with its ears lit back. You can see it's in full on bite mode because the mane is like flying up in the air, the nostrils are flared, the mouth is open, and
it looks like a statue you'd see of a war horse in the middle of battle. I mean, it's just, this is one mean
remember
horse.
That picture where there's two horses are coming down the stretch? It's called the Savage, and one is reaching over to bite the other horse.
Like
that's what this horse is
or whatever.
Face. Yeah, that's what this looks like.
Well, Renee sent this ad in. Thank you, Renee. Last one for the day. I've decided to sell a personal horse of mine. Old Cuddles. Oh, his name is Cuddles. His name is Old Cuddles. Is a 2-year-old grade ungelded colt. He stands about 14.9 hands. He's a tall one. He is currently red, but I think he'll turn dapple gray in a few years and is just the sweetest thing.
They usually go from chestnut to dapple gray.
He's only tried to kick, stomp, and bite me a few dozen times, and I really think the little rascal was just playing. We have a little game where he tries to stomp me in the dirt during feeding time.
Fun game.
It's so like cute. Our own game of tag. Yeah, that's a game I want to play. Anyway, Cuddles isn't halterbroke. No surprise there. And doesn't like to be petted very much. How do you get his name? And tends to bite pretty hard if you get too close to his face. So I think he would be an excellent first horse for little kiddos.
Oh, this next line.
That way they can learn and grow together. Why don't I have that green on green sound effect anymore? Just like the cartoon Spirit. He would also be perfect for a breeding program. Go ahead. You do the last line.
He would also be perfect for a breeding program if you aren't concerned about little things like conformation or attitude. This was written for Really Bad Ads.
It was. Like, I think it's a fake.
Wrote this for Really Bad. Obviously, it's a fake. Here, let me go through the points real quick. It's a person trying to sell the personal horse. It's a 2-year-old grade ungelded colt, 14.9s. He's red, but he's going to turn dapple gray, and he only kicks, bites, and stomps a few dozen times. If you don't concern yourselves with things like confirmation or attitude, he can be yours. Anyway, if you want to give Cuddles his new home, please give me $25,000, a trip to Bora Bora, or some bunny cages. No returns.
That was funny, even if it's fake. We are supporters of fake news here on Horses in the Morning, by the way, as long as it's
funny.
We
would never do fake news, ever.
Unless it's funny, and then we'll do it.
Unless it's funny. Yes. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, is what I always say.
That's the first thing she told me that she learned in radio. I swear it was the first time I talked to you on the phone. What's the first thing you told me?
That, and if you're stealing from me, you're stealing twice.
And on that classy note, we're going to end the show.
Thank you all. What did you learn today?
Oh, what did I learn today? I learned that Dean is still a super nice guy and that he's collecting horses more than you now. I learned that. And actually, Patty was on the line listening. So I don't know why she would talk to us today, but she was on the line. And I learned that the Pollock Report knows everything about Rick. God, that guy is an encyclopedia of horse stuff.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Scott Jagel.
Yeah.
Go and listen to some of his shows on the HRN app. It's so good.
Around the track.
I don't know. I've learned that I'm becoming more of a fan of some of the lesser known horses instead of Omaha Beach. So, and that's who everybody always says. So I'm going to have to really take a deep dive into the Derby the past couple, for the next couple weeks. And I'm so glad that Patty is still going to have her wellies walking down the track.
And I learned that I'm going to have a really tough time picking a name. I go by name. There's a lot of good names. It's going to be tough this year.
It is. There's a lot of bad ones, too. So you got about 50-50.
Jennifer, did you learn anything today, or are you just in vacation mode? Yep, that's what I thought.
What?
That's what I thought. All right, we're going on vacation for a couple days, and then we'll see everybody in Kentucky. Thank you so much for joining us. You guys have good shows next week. Yeah, she's still here working. Her and Jenny are going to be back working.
Spay, neuter, and geld. That geld and spay that. I think you guys need a new cat. Ferocious attack. It'd be yours.